World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All in hardcore people are with us today. I just looked down, man. I'm wearing this bright, this dark blue shirt, and can you guys see stuff that's falling on me? I don't know if it's falling off of me or falling off the ceiling. Got little speckles on me. Apologize today. Happy Thanksgiving. I've been pondering that the last couple of days. Thanksgiving, the way we celebrate Thanksgiving and all the, you know, we live in a country today where people don't really have grateful hearts anymore. Have you noticed that? And don't the scriptures say something about that? Where is it? Where does that? I'll get my brain to kick in. It's one of the, Lord, I want to go there, but I don't want to go there. I do want to go there. Go to 2 Timothy. Let's just do it right. My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there. Really, we do have a lot to be thankful for. And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, or as people say, fear porn and all that kind of stuff. And I appreciate the hardcore folks that are in here. There's 17 of you got up here this morning. It's amazing. In fact, some new faces. Let me get my glasses on there. Don's good to see Don's in. Don's in here with us for I think probably the first time. And then I feel really bad, David. Linda's a new one, I think. We got an unknown one. We got some. You know, I felt really bad because David Hawkins, Pastor David, I call him Pastor. He's currently not a pastor, but he is. Bobby Lee's joining us. Pastor David Hawkins finally got his stuff working yesterday, and I didn't realize it. I watched a little bit of the review, so. Pastor Dave, you get in here and we'll get you in live. Maybe we'll get Lexi up here. Get her going. Get her on here live. But the hardcore folks, thanks for being in here with us. We really are living in a time and in a place, in a nation where people really aren't. And for some reason, we feel like we are, like we deserve it, right? Like, what's the word? I can't get, morning, Dale. Can't get my brain to work here. It's like we are entitled. We're not grateful for hardly anything at all. And my wife and I, we're going to have Michelle's, God bless my wife. She's cooking for like 30. Well, she's not just cooking for 30 because everybody's coming, bringing something. But it is the one time, I think even more than Christmas, when you can kind of really get together and do some family stuff. We're excited about it. We're hosting it here in our our new abode. Got some change we've made in our house. Get a chance really to show it off. So we're excited. Used about that, but for the most part, I watched this guy, this LeVar Burton, I think that's his name, the guy whose son was arrested in China for shoplifting. Got to play basketball for UCLA. I don't know if you guys saw that. Played basketball for UCLA. The son did, and he and two of his buddies got caught shoplifting in China, and they threw him in the clinker. No, they put him on house arrest, I guess. And shoplifting in China is like 10 years in jail. The rest of the basketball team came home. And they were stuck over there. And Donald Trump shows up on the scene because he was over there traveling, right? Trump got them out. Get those three guys out. And Burton, the dad, won't even say thanks over there. We've become so overcome with anger. And you know that, I don't do some psychoanalysis here, but you know that anger is a secondary emotion. Fear is the primary emotion. Fear leads to anger. Anger never leads to fear. When you get angry, you go do crazy stuff because you're angry. And the reason you get angry is because something has made you fearful. It could be a physical fear. It could be an emotional fear. It could be fear of losing your stuff. It could be fear of a lot of things. And so I think there's so much anger in America, so much fear in America that we've kind of lost sight of the ability to be able to be grateful. And maybe some of you ought to come along with Big Rich and Jim Kraft and Ray LeBlanc and those guys, Dale Socia, who made some of those trips down to Port Arthur, Texas, serve some people. You'll understand gratitude a little bit when you see what happens to some of those folks. So anyway, listen, I hate these goofy, what are you most thankful for today shows? I'm not going to do one here, even though it is Thanksgiving. I asked Jared to turn to 2 Timothy. I think he probably did. Let me catch up with you. 2 Timothy, I think it's 4, Jared. Because I want to show you something. Chapter 3, verse 1. Let's just start right there this morning. Yeah, I got several little things, some housekeeping I want to do here before we really get going, but I want to show this to you. This is are you there, Joe? Is Joe with us, the Silver Man? I haven't had you read here for a couple of days. Joe, get your microphone up. Ready, Bobby Lee. Good to see you in there today, Don. Seeing some new folks that are with us. Yes, sir. Good to see all you guys in here today. Joe, start reading that on 2 Timothy. And as I've told you before, 2 Timothy is not a treatise on end times. 2 Timothy is a explanation of how men's hearts are going to continue to change as we move towards the end days. But it's not evidence of an, I don't think it's evidence of end time like a lot of people make it to be. Go ahead and read that for me there, Silverman, if you're in.
Here we go. We start off at verse 1.
Yes, sir.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful.
There it is. There it is, Joe, there it is. There it is. Unthankful. It's part of, stay with me a second, Joe. It's part of the nature of man and selfishness. Remember the five I wills of Satan? I will ascend on high. I will be like the most God. I will. And in the American society, in the American culture in particular, which let's be honest with us, with each other, we think that the world revolves around America because we live here. And I was thinking the other day, I wonder what it's like in Russia. I've never been to Russia. Do people have normal lives? They live in houses like we do and they go around and go to China? Are people free in China? What really is it like? Because we here in America, we are so, what's the word? Tarnished. We're so tainted by the American life. Have everything you want. That we're not grateful for anything. We're unthankful. It's part of our human condition. Joe, I'm going to shut up a minute. Go ahead and start at number one again. And folks, just listen to about the first five things that Joe talks about here and see if this isn't the heart of man unregenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. Go ahead, Joe. Start that again.
This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves.
There you are.
Covetous. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good.
Amen there.
Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers
Holy
of God.
Smoke, somebody's reading some mail here today.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth.
Okay, Joe, let's stop right there a second. I'm just going to throw this open with everything we watch, everything that's going on with the sex bit, right? All the sex accusations, all of that stuff going on. Anybody out there, the Holy Spirit speak to anybody at all about a phrase that's right here in the middle of this that just jumped right out at me. Silly women. Why doesn't it say silly men? silly women laden with lust. Silly women. Anybody have an unction on that? Does that mean no? Does that mean you're, yeah.
Coach, well, weren't originally women are more susceptible to be deceived. I know that. I know in the, you know, Eve was the one that first deceived. I mean, Adam consented, obviously, but Eve was the one that was deceived.
Mm-hmm. And so we see in America today when they do the, oh, Lord, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go there real quick because I think it's important we see this. Right wing watch, maybe they're not working on Thursday. See, originally, I don't know if you folks know, I'm sure you do. Women couldn't vote. There was a time when women couldn't vote. And why couldn't they vote? Well, you can laugh about it all you want to. But the whole idea, the way the founders set it up, was that the father spoke for the entire family. So back in the days when, in early elections, women... We know that, right? Women's suffrage was, what, 1920s? The 1920s, women finally were getting the right to be able to vote. Why was that? Because there had to be unity in the home. And therefore, the man spoke for the home. And you wouldn't have seen back then polls and political operatives talking about the war on women or the sexual divide or men... 80% of men do this and 20% of women do this because it didn't matter because the man spoke for the family. But as JR likes to help us see, it's the natural family that's been destroyed because the natural family has been destroyed in the covering of the man. See, my wife, if I could get Michelle down there, I'll bring her down here with me some morning. Shelly, if you're not, she's probably cooking something. If you're listening up there, come on down here a second. My wife loves the protection of my cover. She loves that. That's the greatest gift that she has in our home. I think she would say it is the covering of her husband, knowing that the larger decisions of life she doesn't have to make. I make them. That burden has fallen on me because I'm the protector. And so, therefore, in a larger sense or in a smaller sense, women couldn't vote because the man was the head of the household. And I wonder what our political world would look like. See, they call it patriarchy. I hear where right-wing watch don't go with this. Was patriarchy really a bad thing? And isn't it patriarchy that's under attack today? And I asked the crazy question the other day, is it possible for a man to be sexually harassed? Would a man speak up and say, would a man go to the police and say, my female boss was abusing me and harass me? That seems almost unmanly to do that, doesn't it? And so what we see has happened. Silly women. I love my wife. My wife makes her decisions emotionally. Sometimes I do, but not very often. And my wife is best, most effective when, oh, this is going to make him mad. But you guys know I'm telling you the truth here on Thanksgiving Day. Michelle's life is better when she filters the decisions through me. Well, there I said it. Not that she needs my approval, but she comes to me and says, what do you think about this? And along the same lines, when I'm ready to make a decision, I funnel it through her and I get her feedback because we're equals, but there can only be one boss. See, when it's fourth down and one, there's only one guy that can call a play. A lot of guys can give input, but when it comes down, somebody's got to be in charge. And the Lord made the man to be in charge. So, In a biblical America, oh, this makes people mad. In a biblical America, men would be speaking for the house. But we look around now, marriages, people aren't even married. They don't stay married. They don't get married. So the whole attack upon patriarchy and the natural family, all of that is manifesting itself in a lot of different ways. I don't know why I went there other than I was supposed to go there. I was supposed to go there. So we bought into this lie. I love my wife so much that I will do anything I can to shield her from whatever, including making difficult decisions.
You say, oh, coach, can't she do it? And she's strong enough. A strong woman can make those decisions. You're not listening to me, see? You're taking your own bias and you're putting words into my mouth that I'm not saying.
Dave?
Yeah, Rod.
First of all, I am thankful for the huddle. I want you to know that. And
you too.
I'm thankful for the hours you put in the other guys. It's been a great benefit for my faith and my walk.
Praise the Lord.
Thankful for the most in the huddle. See, if we're gonna believe in death, burial, resurrection, then you got to believe the whole baby. You got to believe all of it. And it is completely clear in God's word that just about everything flows through the male.
Yep.
And that is a lost teaching in church. I am not a keep the woman pregnant at home guy. That is not me. But I am into understanding the authority that is given in the Bible to men and to the family. And it is clear and seldom taught what you've just shared. I'm barefoot and pregnant. I want my daughter to be glorious in God's eyes. I want her to be successful in whatever she does, be it homemaker or otherwise. But we don't hear this. And the reason is the pastors, again, would have empty churches if they really laid down God's word.
Boy, Roger, this
is the truth. I'm sorry. It's the
truth. Well, Roger and Dave, I'll say also, see, is also the man is accountable for what his family does. He's accountable.
That's right.
At a certain age. Now, I know when they were in the wilderness, when these children reached the age of 20, they were no longer accountable. The parents are no longer accountable for their children. But what is that age now? We don't know. But it's somewhere
40.
Around it.
40.
Yeah. Millennials is 29, right? Okay, but anyway. But I'm just saying that, you know, men are accountable for their family. You know, and if you're not running, if you're not able to call the play, you know, at least you get your wife in there, your spouse with you, and you guys can talk about it, and then you make the final choice. Whatever happens, happens. You know, hopefully you guys have thought it through, but that's part of the problem.
That's right. And so we see in, just a second, we see in, from a political standpoint, we see husbands and wives not voting for the same candidates. That's stupid. You know, you're going to think I'm crazy. Before I go to vote, I tell Michelle who I'm voting for. I don't tell her who she has to vote for. But I say I'm voting for this person and this person and this person and this person and vote no on all the levies. And then she makes her own decision. But the idea that she's going to vote for Obama and I'm going to vote for a man, what? That should never happen. But it does. Go ahead. Somebody's trying to jump in.
Yeah, numbers 30, Coach. This is the accountability of a man in his home. And this is a serious thing because this is the vows that a man makes unto the Lord and how those vows can be nullified. When you read that, it talks about in verse 2, it says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord, his oaths are binding. Verse 3, it says, if a woman makes a vow to the Lord, hers are binding and are obligated in her father's house.
Wow.
But if her father hears of her vows and her obligations, which she has bound herself, and he says nothing, then her vows shall stand. But if her father hears, verse 5, and he forbids them on those days, then those which she has bound herself shall be null and void. Same thing with a husband and wife. That whole chapter, brother, I mean, this is the covering, and it goes with Ephesians. It talks about that the husband, it says, to wash her and to cleanse her with the water of the word. He is her head. This is not a male chauvinist thing. It's not something you earn. You automatically... When you are a man, you are born with this, and you're going to give an account to God about it.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, can we hear from one of the women in the queue? Because this sounds like all of the men here. Michelle, come on down here a second. She probably won't. She had purdied her face and everything this morning. Listen, folks, this is not male dominance, all right? This is laying down your life. I lay down my life for my wife. I don't dominate her. I don't tell her where she can go and what she I don't do that. But I'm the decision maker. Our house, our family flows better. I've got two beautiful daughters, both college educated. Abby went to Hillsdale College. Maggie went to Marietta College. They're both beautiful, articulate, bright women who have chosen to stay home. They're not working outside the home. Why? Because their husbands are ogres and make them? No. Because they know that the man is the head of the house, but the mother is the head of the home. The mother runs the home. The mother makes the nest. Think of the birds. The mother makes the nest. And the dad guards the nest. Golly, the birds haven't figured out. No wonder we're so messed up. Come on, give me a woman in here. Some woman jump in here and agree with us. I know we got somebody here. Sarah, you there? You're awfully quiet in here today. Are you with us? Yeah. Come on, Sarah.
Sorry, I was sneezing. No, it's right, you know, and I have no problem leaving certain decisions up to Steve. And it's a good feeling. You know, there are certain things that you fellas can do, certain things us women can do. And mm-hmm. it's godly given because God made the hierarchy. So if someone has a problem with it, take it up with him.
So, Sarah, so I wake up this morning, Sarah, and we're having 30 people over here this morning, or this, today, right? 30 people coming over for Thanksgiving. And I woke up this morning. She doesn't even know that she's up there already getting ready. I woke up with a burden for her this morning. She's putting on this huge production. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to her to put on this huge production. Listen, she didn't ask me what kind of potatoes to make. She didn't ask me if I thought we ought to have turkey or whether we have ham. It's her gig, man. It's her deal. And that's all I can do to come alongside her and help her flourish in the gifting that God's given her. She doesn't have to worry about going to work and getting a day off and being, I mean, you hear where I'm staying? You're with us on that, Sarah, right? But they say, well, sure, Sarah's been beat down by her husband, Steve. We can all see that. Steve controls her. That's the way it goes, right?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach. You know, there is right-wing watch out of like this. That there is truth to their argument, you know, that women can be beat down. But that's right-wing watch. That's because when men abdicate their responsibility in the sight of God, then women, they will automatically fill in a void. A void, a vacuum will always be filled. So really, to us men, the burden's really on us to have a vital, meaningful relationship with our Creator, because that's the only way we're going to be capable of fulfilling our God-given role as true men, not as dictators and bosses. Because everything you're saying, Coach, that's the relationship Pam and I have. It's not a dictator serf relationship. It's equal, but yet you're right. My wife loves it when I make the major decisions because
sure.
deep down, most women I've met, they really want a man that will do that, but most men today aren't doing that. So women have to step up and take the man's role.
Can I tell you why that is? Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
Because men are not the spiritual heads of their homes. They act like they are. But men are not the spiritual
right.
homes. And I want you to think about this. I wish I had parts of my life I wish I had to live over again. I just do. Think about tucking the kids in at night. Pretty much it was my wife that did that. Michelle pretty much did that. I should have been worn up there, speaking into the lives of my children, staying their prayers with them, putting them as the spiritual head of the home. And because we don't take on that role as the spiritual head of the home, it's hard to take on the role as head of the family. It's hard. It's difficult. And guys, I'm going to tell you this, and I hate to keep hammering on it. The church, the American church, is not conducive to male headship. Does anybody disagree with that?
Coach.
The American church is not set up for the man to be the head of the house. In fact, many pastors won't go there because of the Jezebel sitting in the pew. Somebody say amen. Help me out here, Dale. the Jezebel Amen. Sitting in the pew. The guys are not the spiritual heads of their home. Because they're not the spiritual heads of the home, they don't have the respect of their wives. I don't know how I got on this.
Well, I hear it's an absolute fact, Coach. And the numbers don't lie. When a man will attend church faithfully, 80 to 85% of his family will follow God. When it's only the women, it drops down to 20 or 25%. That's just the fact.
Because she's outside of her element, and he's not walking in his element, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Amen. So this war on I'm trying to transition here. This whole war on women and all of this that's going on with sexual harassment, harassment, whatever word you want to use. See, right wing watch is going to eat this up because they think I'm for it. I'm not for it. I'm going to tell you this. Women are far more emotional than men. Far more. You know, JR said the other day, he says, boy, Coach, they never forget. They never forget. And I saw somebody talking about on Facebook that she was molested or abused by a man, and she'll never forget that. And I believe that. So I'm not in favor of male sexual abuse. Oh, that's that long. Sometimes it takes two to tango. Sometimes. And that's why I think it's important for us to teach our daughters and our wives not to dress suggestively, modestly. I don't think we focus on that enough. What I love most about my wife is a beautiful one. She always comes to me in the morning if we're going to go to church or whatever, and she'll say, is this showing too much, Pastor? Does this look like this? You understand? The men are, I'm down the trail. I didn't want to get down there. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Here's where I'm heading today, okay? Here's where I'm heading today. This whole, he said, Coach, you're going to go to the Holy Spirit. I'm working that way. This whole Judge Roy Moore thing. I was thinking about this morning. Jared, see if you can pull up what I sent you today. I'm going to show a real quick video. It just came to me out of nowhere today. Whether you believe women and Al Franken and patting women on the butt. And I mean, nobody's, I don't know. I'm not going to come out. Go ahead,
Mike. If you look at Matthew 18, 15 through 17. So this is in the context of something.
Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Let Jared get it up there for us. Okay, we got
so,
it.
So, yeah, this could be interpreted that if a man sins against you as a woman, this is kind of what should happen before you dismiss the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So take a look at that. See what you think.
Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, female, go and tell him his fault. It's between the two of you. And if he shall hear you, you've gained your brother. But if he doesn't hear you, then take two or three. Then take the one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And then, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the world, to the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto them as a heathen man and a publican. In other words, we can say what you want to. When a woman is abused, harassed, whatever, by a man, her first obligation is to go to the man and say, don't do that. You're not supposed to do that. And then if he doesn't tell you he's sorry, repent of whatever, then you take somebody else and go back to that man and say, now listen, I'm here's my witnesses. I'm warning you, don't be doing this anymore. And if that doesn't work and he continues to do it, then you take it, right? You go to the police, you go to, right?
Right. And so who was in the military, and we had in the UCMJ, it's exactly worded this way. You have to let the person know. Ray, you remember that?
But it's the same thing at my work. You need to tell them that you're offended.
So yeah, you have to.
They can make adjustments.
So this is one of the worldly policies. It's based on biblical principle that's soon to change, in my opinion.
I'd say, brother, it's coming for sure, isn't it?
Right, right.
Yeah, right, right, right. So here was, listen, this is fascinating. It's 3 minutes. I'm gonna play this. Do you guys remember the story, the great, great story, To Kill a Mockingbird, with Gregory Peck? Harper Lee wrote it. My goodness, what a fabulous, if you haven't seen it, I read To Kill a Mockingbird my freshman year in high school. I was greatly impacted by it. I don't know why. Because remember, it was in the heat of the whole women's movement, the civil rights, the thing was going on. And the story behind this is Tom Robinson, a black man, is accused of rape by Mayella Yule. Now, this guys, don't miss this now. This is just the opposite of what we are seeing today, or maybe not the opposite. Here's what I'm saying. When you watch this segment, I want you to tell me who comes across looking as like the victim in this. So we talk about all this sexual stuff that's going on, and by the way, I got to say this. Oh, Lord. Could it be possible that Al Franken patted some of those girls on the hind end? And yeah, they maybe didn't like it, but they didn't say anything about it because they thought there might be some professional benefits associated with it later. Is that possible? And do women always... Go ahead.
Coach, I'm just going to say, then you need to, every football player should go and file a complaint against the coach every time he walks by and he slaps him on the butt and says, hey, good play out there, or whatever. That happens all the time. And, you know, I think people take themselves so seriously, and they're just looking for anything. They're lazy, and they're waiting for the opportunity to drop a dime on you so they can get paid. That's what it comes down to, and it just makes me sick that these people just, they're waiting for an opportunity.
Can I tell you something else? Are you guys ready for this? I'm going to play this just a second. I can't tell you the number of cases that I've seen football players humiliated by women in the classroom. Can somebody out there say amen? Women who get power and hoarded over these 14 and 15 and 16-year-old boys and just do the most unbelievable things to them. So listen to me. This power. See, guys, girls, sexual harassment is about power. It's not about sex. Feminism is about power. It is not about sex. Sex is the vehicle to gain power. Do you understand? Can we see this? Can we see it? So here's Mayella Yule. She's charged Tom Robinson with rape. If you haven't seen this, go rent to Kill a Mockingbird. So here we go. Here's Judge Roy Moore's accuser, and there sits Judge Roy Moore. Or you can put Harvey Weinstein. You can put whatever one you want to on. And I want you to watch how the sympathy in this segment of this film goes not to the victim, but to the accused. And it was okay to do that. Why? Because at this point in time in America, women were not as beaten down as men. Black men. Tom Robinson was a freed slave, but yet he was on the lower realm than the woman. So in this situation, Mayella Yule, she has all the power because she was a white woman. She had all the power. And watch how Harper Lee in this segment with Gregory Peck, just merely being able to face your accusers, how Gregory Peck, you watch this segment. And you tell me who your sympathy lies with. Now, you're going to feel sorry for Mayella Yule just to realize how ignorant she is and what she's been put up to by her daddy. But when you watch this segment, your sympathy goes to Tom Robinson. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Thank you. Now, will you identify the man who beat you?
Most certainly will. Sitting right yonder.
Tom, will you stand up, please? Let Miss Mayella have a good long look at you. Tom, will you... Will you catch this, please? Thank you. Now then, this time, will you please catch it with your left hand?
I can't, sir.
Why can't you?
I can't use my left hand at all. I got it caught in a cotton gin when I was 12 years old. All my muscles were tore loose.
Is this the man who raped you?
Most certainly is.
How?
I don't know how. He done it. He just done it.
You have testified that he choked you and he beat you. You didn't say that he sneaked up behind you and knocked you out cold, but that you turned around and there he was. You want to tell us what really happened?
I got something to say. And then I ain't gonna say no more.
Freeze it, Jared. Folks, here it is. This is behind. We have to factor this in with every woman who makes the sexual assault accusation. Okay? We can't believe them just because they're women. Okay? Go ahead, Jared.
He took advantage of me. And if you find fancy gentlemen ain't gonna do nothing about it, then you're just a bunch of lousy, yellow, stinking cowards. The whole bunch of you. And your fancy ass don't come to nothing. Your mammon and your Miss May Ellen, it don't come to nothing, Mr. Vince.
Sit down there.
Okay, boy, you need to watch the rest of that. Man, oh man, we're confused. We're so confused. We want to say women are equal, yet they're clearly not equal. We want to say that there's no difference in the sexes, yet there is a difference in the sexes. And Mayella Yule wanted to be believed just because she was a woman. Just because she was in a position where somebody could have taken advantage of her. She felt just because of the fact she was a woman and he was a black man, she had to be believed. Now, can somebody tell me the difference between this and where we are today? Come on.
We don't have a Gregory Peck, Coach. We don't have a Gregory Peck.
We got some. We got a Flip Benham. We got a Rusty. We have some Gregory Pecks. But the Gregory Pecks we know are, for the most part, aren't welcome in the church. That's for sure. Somebody else.
Well, Coach, we're different. Men and women are different. We're very different. Women do
and
not.
We know we are. We know we are.
It's innate. It's God-given. We are. Women value different things than men. Men like making widgets and making things better and making. Women do not value that. They don't value the same stuff. And we're putting that weight on them. We are expecting them to value the same things men value, and it's actually a disservice to women to do that.
Hey, Coach, use one of your own lines. Ahead, you say, watch out because of the deflection. Go back to Genesis, right? We understand there's something that the Satan hates. First is when the Spirit of the Lord, when the Lord said, let us make man in our own image. So what do we see? Kill the babies. First thing they want to do is kill the babies. If they can't kill the babies, the second thing that God said, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. And what is the likeness of God? Masculinity, strength, that godly power. And so what are they doing? It's not the women, it's the men. Let's destroy the godliness, the manhood, the power.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And transfer the power to something that's not, doesn't rightfully belong to them. Now, guys, I don't know if you know the Kill the Mockingbird story or not. Tom Robinson, it's clear he's innocent. They take him back to jail. The white jury won't vote innocent or not guilty. They won't vote not guilty. They convict him because of the social mores in which they live. And everybody watching it knows that it was an injustice. And then what do? Well, they kill him. They kill him. They say he tried to run away because Atticus Finch said, we're going to do an appeal here. Now, hang on a minute. As you watch this, doesn't Judge Roy Moore deserve the same treatment as Tom Robinson? Doesn't Judge Moore deserve the right to face his accuser before everybody says he's guilty? Doesn't he have that right? Al Franken said he did it. Harvey Weinstein said he did it. Judge Moore said he didn't do it. And we have Christians.
Hey, Coach.
They're like Mayella Yule.
It's crazy. What you're saying is absolutely nuts. A guy gets out of a truck after running over bicyclists, and he's a suspect. This guy's guilty. This is crazy, Coach. I can't process it. I watch these murderers getting... It's just nuts. They're having trouble prosecuting them.
They won't even call them terrorists, Mark. They won't even call them terrorists. Hello, somebody there? Look at this little thing that just walked down here. This is my granddaughter, Reese.
Hi, Reese.
I want the fullness of Christ to dwell inside her. That's what I want for her. I don't want her to be taken advantage of by anybody at any time, any place. I have to teach her to stand up and be strong. And when somebody tries to do it, to tell us, protect herself. But I can't let her. I watch my grandkids. We have a grandson and a granddaughter. They're right around 2 years old, a couple months apart. Both of them can be scoundrels. They both fight over tools. David bites all the time, doesn't he, Reese?
Yeah.
I can't just say, well, David's wrong. Macy accused David. David's wrong. What happened to justice? But that's where we are. And Mark, you so hit upon it. You're so right. We look at these terrorists, and we won't even call them suspects. We won't even call them terrorists. Yet Judge Moore's guilty. 40 years ago, guilty. We've lost all of our moorings, man.
Well, this is the point. They do not want a judge who would look at things this way. They want a judge who won't say terrorist. That's why they're so scared of him.
Exactly right.
This is making me just happy Thanksgiving, right? Just,
Yeah. And why don't they? Well, I don't know how we got here, but let's stay here a minute. Why don't they want the judge? Why don't they want the judge? Because, Mark, he is Atticus Finch. He is Atticus Finch. That's Judge Moore. He's Atticus Finch. And he's not going to be bought by the times in which he lives. He's not going to be bought by public opinion. He's not going to be bought by criticism from people. He's going to stand. Going to stand. Oh, man, oh, man.
So, Coach, what it seems like is the lie can only stand up when the truth is suppressed. They have to suppress the truth in order for their lie to keep on going. And therein lies the battle.
Therein lies the battle. And we see right now they want to prosecute. They want the sentence on Judge Moore before the evidence. Before the hearing. I love Kill a Mockingbird. Mayella Yule. You know what we find out later on in the movie? Mayella Yule was, She was hitting on Tom Robinson. She was hitting on him when he was walking by. She would always ask him to come in and fix things. And she was hitting on him. She grabbed him by the waist one time when he was up on fixing a ship of her own. And what happens? Her dad looks in the window. And the dad looks in the window and sees his daughter grabbing Tom Robinson by the waist. And then all of a sudden, an accusation is made to protect her innocence. Supposed innocence. It's playing out before us again right now. It's everywhere we look. Innocent until proven guilty if you're on the wrong right side of the debate.
Well, Coach,
am I with me here?
When I was in college, I did college for a year and a half, and there was a foreign exchange student who got accused of rape. They kicked him out that night out of his barracks room. He's a foreign exchange student. He doesn't know anybody. He's from a different country. They kick him out on an accusation from a woman of rape. Everybody's up in arms on campus. 3 days later, she lied. She lied about it, you know, or like a week later. And this guy, his reputation is destroyed. It's the same issue, right? His reputation is destroyed. On the accusation. And he's an 18-year-old kid.
So, Jared, I call it. See, Reese, I got in trouble the other day because I made the comment that what we're seeing is the rape of Judge Roy Moore's jury. What is rape? Look that up, Jared. Look up rape. Because most of us, when we hear rape, we think of a physical rape, right? We think of sexual. And what is rape? An old word, no, that's not it. Wait a minute. Let's see here. Hang on to get that girl out of there. Here we go. Now's it coming. There we go. To seize or take away by force. You can rape somebody's reputation. You can rape their family. You can rape their dignity. You can rape. You can do a lot of different kinds of rapes. And these accusations of rape, of physical rape of women, I'm not downplaying that those things go on. That's all happened in the college campuses. Guys, right? Guys and girls both get drunk. Guys and girls both get drunk, and then something happens, and the girl can cry rape. Why can't the guy cry rape? If men and women are equal, why can't the guy cry rape? So if I was drunk, I'd have never done that. She seduced me when I was drunk. Would that fly in a court?
Nope.
Why? Oh, man. I was gonna talk about the Holy Spirit today. We just haven't got that. Guys, this is critical stuff. This is so critical. Because the thinking, the mindset of the modern American Christian is so unbiblical in so many ways. And I don't know what we do about it. What do we do, Raj? Bobby Lee. What do we do about it, Bobby Lee? You see it all the time. You see the dysfunction in the families. You see the misgendering of roles. You see what's going on. Practically, what do we do about it? Because if we don't handle these problems right in front of us, in our own families, in our own communities, it doesn't matter what happens in D.C. Jump in here.
Well, I got a few things to say. One, you're right earlier. The man, there is no spiritual leadership from the man at all in the home. He knows usually Generation X or the grandparents are raising these kids, and the man knows nothing about God. And more often than not, if the family is going to church, it's being led by the mother or the stepmother or the paramour. Aside from that, I've been in the I was in the military and college twice. I've got a long past history of doing a lot of things that I should not have done. And I watched women do things on military bases and in college that is just completely manipulative, mind blowing, right in front of husbands. All right. You know, it's the women that bring the men home in the man's bed, the husband's bed at night, and trying to push him out the window before ex-husband, petty officer or chief petty officer gets home. It's the women that do that while the kids are in the other room. Aside from that, a lot of these girls, listen, I'm not so quick to crucify men anymore because, listen, I have a complete understanding of human behavior. It's what I get paid for now. And I've been doing it for a long time. I'm not so quick to crucify men because there's a lot of 14-year-old girls out there that look 30.
Hmm.
And doing things in the community that are completely mind-blowing that they will hook up with a 40-year-old man now and 5 minutes later be in the club and not give another thought about it while that 40-year-old man is sitting in jail for the next 10-plus years. There's a lot of lying, evil manipulation, get what I want right now going on out there, whether you're 14 or 70.
Mm-hmm. And let's be very, very honest here, fellas. In the sexual relationship, the woman's the boss. Huh? Yes or no? The woman is the boss. What's that old saying? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Right? So this imbalance of power, this shifting of the power, what a monstrous problem and a monstrous evil. This all started because why do we say here? Silly women, laden with lust. Doesn't it say that?
With sins.
Laden with sins. For this is a sort that are creeping to houses and lead captive. Silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. When I was growing up in the good old days or the Neanderthal days, the woman was taught to say no. And today, women can say no and not mean it. Or they could say yes and then say I didn't mean it. And it's all, in my mind, part of the attack upon manhood. Christianity in particular, because our values are so skewed. Somebody jump in there, bail me out of it. I'll do the Holy Spirit tomorrow. I promise. I got 8 minutes left. I got a clip I was going to show, but I'm not going to show it.
Well, Coach,
somebody.
Women sort of, if in the power game, right? Here's my theory: is if men hold the cards, if you have self-control. If you have self-control in the power struggle of relationship between men and women, because women, they're not stronger than you physically. They're not, you know, their power is designed to be through manipulation. It's designed to use sex. Sex is what is one large card they can play. You know, if you're just looking at it absent of morality and stuff. So if a man has self-control over his lusts, which is looking to God and is a spiritual leader, then the relationship will flow properly. The power will flow properly. Because there won't be any of that tension, or it'll be minimized, right? So,
right.
I've got a little bit different twist. So, men in the workplace, are we competing with other men using sexual harassment methods? Women, however, they see everyone around them, maybe who they believe are smaller than they are, prettier than they are, longer hair, making these positions because men don't have the discernment to do it fairly. So some women get used to using that for professional gain, while others doing it the right way, not choosing those decisions. I can see that it's much harder for a submissive woman who's doing things in a holy way not to be tempted to buddy up to somebody, not to be tempted to do these things. So, yes, that's part of it. But it goes on and on. Why are women out there working? It's because of the two-family household now, because of the government and all that. So we've put them in this position to compete. Because the men running our countries, the men running our homes, aren't providing. And that, to me, is part of it, too. There's still the sin of the breaking down, making bad decisions, and we can't excuse that.
One of the elephants in the room here, I've only got about 5 minutes left here. One of the elephants in the room in this whole sexual harassment and rape culture and everything going on, the elephant in the room, in my opinion, is pornography. Pornography is so rampant, and soft porn and solicitation through media is so strong. Listen, guys, the male urge comes visually. And the attraction of pornography to men is there's no rejection. There's no arguing. There's no power structure. I look at it. It entices me. I can touch it or think I touch it. And there's no consequences. And then as a result of that, somehow subconsciously, men, because of pornography teaches us to objectify women. It's all about appearance. And it's all about a smorgasbord. And here, go have whatever you want to. When in the real world, that is not the way that it plays out. And I would say that, I'd be making up a number, but a vast majority of these issues that we're dealing with in society is directly related to the use of pornography by men. That's what I think. It's the elephant in the room, and we don't want to talk about it. We don't talk about it in church. And I think a lot of it is back to men don't feel like men. And the sexual, or at least the sexual outlet through the use of pornography, sometimes is more gratifying than having to play the sexual game with a woman. Somebody think I'm crazy to say that? Anybody think I'm crazy?
No, it's a negative feedback loop, right? So the more feminine it becomes, or the less masculine you are, feminism rises up, and then the more feminism rises up, or the more the women rise up in church, in wherever, then the less masculine you become, the less masculine, and it's just this negative feedback loop we're 300 years into, you know? And
amen. So Jared, we think in Hollywood, Harvey Weinstein, think of those guys in Hollywood. Those girls make it to Hollywood based on what they look like. And we would be crazy if we didn't say that some women, the old phrase, slept their way to the top, right? That women understand the weaponry of their body. And that doesn't give a man the right to pull the trigger.
No, and good women, that's exactly what they're competing with. And I think it goes all the way back to Eden, to when Satan approached Adam and Eve. Why did he approach Eve? Why did the watchers fall? You know, it all goes back to what you're saying. Lust.
Yep. Silly women, laden with sin, what to say, diverse lusts. Why? Because we know the man is the sexual aggressor. And when we have taken the woman and we've given her, it's like when we had to march a million lesbian march. I don't know if you remember that, Big Rich. I don't remember if you guys remember that when we were out there in Washington, D.C. I said, I've got it figured out. I have finally figured out what feminism is. I finally, after all this time, I see it here today. And you know what it is? It's very simple. Feminism is women want to have sex without consequences, just like the men. When you nut it all down, abortion, women's movement, my right, my body, my choice.
Hey, Coach.
Women want to have that same liberty without any consequences. Yeah, Mark.
They still got to pee sitting down. Sorry, that's the way God made them. You know, they got to have babies. You know, it's just part of what they got. You know, and they need to be blessed in that body.
Amen. Oh, Natural Family Foundation, JR, we get those men to start honoring their wives. And whatever happened to chastity before marriage?
Whatever happened to getting married when you're 18, 19 years old and starting a family? Why do you go out and play the field till you're 30, 32, 33 years old? And by the way, the boys ain't playing it alone. They're playing with somebody else. Oh, we've got this thing. We've got this whole thing messed up. I'm sorry I didn't get to the Holy Spirit tomorrow. We'll get to it. I promise you. We'll get to it today. We'll get to it tomorrow. Thanks for getting up this morning on Thanksgiving. I give you some turkey to chew on here over the weekend. Start that dialogue at your family gathering tonight. See how that baby goes, huh? I just thank God today for life, for liberty, pursuit of happiness, for my family, and just for being a child of God. God bless you all. Thanks for joining us here today. See you tomorrow.